Hi there, I'm Richard Hill, the host of Ecom at One. Welcome to episode 109. In this episode, I speak with Austin Sims, CEO at Dayrise. Austin and the team at Dayrise are on a truly remarkable mission, enabling brands of all sizes to validate their sustainability claims, helping to reduce costs and build brand value. Austin and myself cover what immediate changes e-commerce businesses can make to become more sustainable, Austin's thoughts on the biggest challenges e-commerce companies are facing when trying to become more sustainable, and what does the future of business look like with the hyper-importance of sustainability? If you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you are listening to this podcast. You're always the first to know when a new episode is released. Now, let's head over to this fantastic episode. This episode is brought to you by Ecom One, e-commerce marketing agency. Ecom One works purely with e-commerce stores, scaling their Google Shopping, SEO, Google Search, and Facebook ads through a proven performance-driven approach. Go to econone.com/resources for a host of amazing resources to grow your paid and organic channels. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ecom at One. Today's guest, Austin Sims, COO at Dayrise. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm well, Richard. Yourself?
I am very good. Very good. The sun is shining. What is there not to like?
Exactly. The world's a different place.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. Looking forward to this one. It's not something we've really talked about much on way over 100 episodes now, and I'm quite embarrassed to say so, to be fair. So I'm really keen to get stuck in. So let's get into it. So why did you choose to devote your life to sustainability?
Well, I think the fact that you're now starting to talk about it, Richard, is sort of shows the direction that yeah. we're headed in at the moment. Yeah. So I don't have a background in sustainability. I worked mostly in commercial roles for a long time. I worked at Nike for a long time and brands like TomTom. And then about three years ago, I was actually away on holiday with my friend and one of my co-founders, and we were watching our kids play in the pool on a floating device. And we got into a big conversation about whether that device, I think it was a massive unicorn, Richard, they were playing on, and whether that whether it was sustainable or not. And then how do you measure sustainability against enjoyment? Would it be reused? Could it be recycled? And we ended up in this big debate about whether it was sustainable or not. And what we realized really quickly was that we didn't know. Yeah. We just didn't know.
Yeah.
And we were debating points of view, but nothing objective. And that's where it started. Is okay, how can we use our background and expertise to help solve that? So I've got young kids. And it's partially stage of life. I've got two Greta Thunbergs in my house that are constantly reminding me that the state of the world in which we're leaving it.
Yeah.
So we had to put our hand up. So I don't have a background in sustainability, as I said. So we came up with the idea of Dayrise, and then we pulled together people that do have that expertise to develop the technology. But for me, it's very much about stage of life and trying to use the net impact of my experience to do some good.
That's very relatable to me, definitely. I think, there's a few things happened recently in my life that's really made me think about the way we operate our business and more so my personal life. You know, obviously they're both very much intertwined, and the things I am involved with, the things that I spend my money on, and how that's come up, the things that I buy, how they are made, and the cost, the real cost of them, and my impact of my probably excessiveness in certain areas in my life. And, it's something that I've made quite a lot of changes on over the last few months myself, but we'll maybe dip into that in a different episode. But so obviously, a couple of things in your life very much made you think about, sustainability and really a lot of questions. But obviously now working with the guys at Dayrise, tell us about how that works.
Yeah, so I think when we set out to solve what we're doing in sustainability, we very much approached it from a consumer standpoint. So as consumers, and you've talked about it just then yourself, Richard, most of us want to do better. We want to make better decisions.
Yeah.
But the reality is there's just not enough information. Like, it was then 2019 and now it's 2022, but even in 2019, it was crazy that when we were shopping to buy anything, there's still no impact information on products, whether it's food and beverage that you're buying or fashion products, whatever it is. So that's the first thing that we tried to solve, is how do we actually bring a level of transparency so people can make better decisions? Because I think once we have the information, then we feel informed to make better decisions. What happened, though, when we sort of went down that rabbit hole to figure out why there wasn't enough information, we realized very quickly that the reason there's not enough information for consumers to make better decisions is because most brands have very little information at a product level. So a lot of brands are measuring impact at a company level, but when you drill down to a specific product and its actual impact, a lot of brands, most brands, if not all brands, don't have really tangible and quantifiable information about that specific impact. And we're working with big multinational brands and small brands, and the lack of transparency is the same. So we realized that to solve it from a consumer standpoint and provide the right level of consumer information, we first needed to solve it with the brand and help them understand their impact. So that's what we do. We develop the technology. So our technology, we work with the brands to actually get information from them. So that's the starting point. And then our technology works in two ways. The first way it works is no brand has all the information through their supply chain to make a 100% accurate impact analysis. So what we've got, the first way the technology works is if you are missing information through your supply chain, we can closely approximate that impact with the technology that we have. So we've got 31 internal and external databases that we call from. And if you're missing specific parts, we can triangulate what you're missing based on what you provided. And with a high degree of accuracy, we can input that missing data. So you end up with a complete picture of the product. That's the first way the technology works. And then the second way the technology works is we then push that information through our algorithm and we assess the product against five dimensions of sustainability. So there's a lot of conversation just about carbon and being net zero, which is important and great. But the reality is the climate is so much broader than just carbon. We need to look at multiple things. So the five dimensions that we look at are climate impact, which is carbon. So what's the impact of carbon from sourcing to manufacturing to distribution? And where does that sit in your supply chain? Ecosystems impact, which is about biodiversity and water. So what's the impact of your products on its biodiversity area where you source it from and how much water does it use? Circularity. So when you're making a product, how much reused and refurbished materials do you use? And then importantly, also at the end of life of your product, how can those materials be reused and recycled at the end of your product's life cycle as well? So they're the three environmental ones we look at, but we look at social impact as well. So we also look at the livelihoods and the well-being of people through the supply chain. So making sure that it's made ethically. So for us, a sustainable product isn't just about the environmental impact. It needs to be sustainable for the communities that are making that product. And the last one is purpose. So the actual purpose of the product. So we have finite resources on the earth. We need to make sure that we're using them in the best way possible. So is the product really fulfilling a needed consumer demand and a need state? So they're the five things that we look at. That's the technology. And then the output that we have is brands get two things. They get a really detailed analysis of their product and where their impact is across those five dimensions. So for the first time, they can really understand where the impact is. And that helps them make better decisions. And then as part of that, there's a consumer widget. So now they can actually extract that information in a simplified version that consumers can actually read, look at, and actually make better decisions about the impact of a product.
It sounds very good. But in reality, what I would follow up with would be, well, it sounds great, but how, what's the word I'm looking for? How reliable has the information been, do you think, that, or how forthcoming have brands been, firstly, sort of giving you that information? So obviously you're requesting it from them and they'll give you what they want to give you, I guess, you know, which well, that's a bit crude to be fair, but they'll give, you know, they might not give you, you know, how forthcoming have they been and how accurate would you say the data is?
What I would say is I think there is a genuine desire from nearly every company in the world to be better. And every company in the world is made up of people like us. So there's a desire for it to be better. So I would say we do verify the information. There's a couple of verification steps. So we ask for the certification of that data. Yeah. Our technology is quite advanced in that if there's anomalies, it actually can detect anomalies. So then we can investigate further. And then we do have a third party that actually does checks on our data. So it is quite robust in terms of the data. But the big one for me is the intent of actually brands, big and small, I think is right. And what was interesting, we started out mostly schooling smaller brands and then have grown into sort of more multinationals. And we started out with brands that were of sustainability. They were sustainable brands. They started out to be sustainable. And a lot of times, because we score the products out of 100, and we went back to them with scores that they thought they would be higher. But what we found very quickly was, although they weren't happy with the score, they weren't happy, they were surprised at the score. What they really were happy was that they now had the information about why they got that score. So now they could actually start to make better decisions because they thought certain things and they just weren't true, or there was something slightly different. Yeah. But now they had the tools and the information to make better decisions, which they hadn't before.
Yeah, I think that's the key, isn't it? That was the education piece. You know, I say everybody wants to do better. I think that's a pretty genuine thing. You know, everybody I'm involved with, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of brands we come across and work with, you know, not thousands, but hundreds. And you know, everyone's trying to do better, but it's exactly what to do. You know, we can sign up for various softwares, if you like, and there's, you know, and plant some trees, and you know, and but hang on a minute, what else can we do? You know, obviously we're going to have a lot of store owners listening in right now, and a lot of marketeers, but store owners, you know, the owners, the guys that probably really make the decision about bigger change in a business, you know, what are some of the immediate things that e-commerce companies can do to be more sustainable?
I think consumers are really, they want transparency. That's all they want. And I think as consumers, we're very forgiving. We're not expecting brands or businesses to be perfect. We're just expecting them to be transparent and honest and as open as possible. So that's what I would start with. How do you just be transparent in your operations and what you do and what you don't do? And then have a plan and a path on how you can actually improve that. Now, obviously what we offer is a service that enables you to be transparent at a product level, which doesn't exist until now. So now if you are making your own products or you're an e-commerce platform that sells products, you can actually provide that level of transparency to consumers that you haven't been able to before. And I think that's going to be an accelerator for growth because consumers want that. And again, they're not looking for perfect products. They're looking for information that just empowers them to make better decisions, and it doesn't need to be perfect.
Reminds me a little bit what you're talking about specifically is, you know, and obviously now there's a real sort of legal requirement to have calories on food, you know, on meals in restaurants, and you know, different law over the years has come in, and now certain size companies in the UK, obviously it's different in different countries listening in, but obviously in the UK, I think if companies over a certain size, I think it's 250, have to put calories on, you know, it's a legal requirement. Do you see something like that coming in eventually, where there's like a, you know, a number assigned to a product, you know, there's an acceptable number, but there's obviously an unacceptable, you know, if you were about to buy, you know, somebody said to me the other day, I'm getting a cheeseburger and it was like 1600 calories. So they ordered a chicken salad, you know, it's like.
That's the perfect comparison. Yeah. We always draw the comparison between nutritional labeling. We've had nutritional labeling on food for 20 years. Yeah. And once you know, as you said, Richard, you can't unknow. Once you know the cheeseburger is 2,600 calories, you can't unknow that. Now, you may still buy the cheeseburger, and that's okay, but you've made an informed decision. Yeah. But maybe you won't buy it as often.
Exactly.
And you'll buy a chicken salad as well. And it's the same with impact analysis. You may still buy the pair of jeans that are quite impactful, but you know the impact, and you may then, you know, mentally offset that by not doing something else. So I think as consumers, we sometimes get overwhelmed by, we all want to change our lives, and sometimes the messaging is so negative and we feel like we have to change everything in our lifestyle to become better, and that becomes overwhelming, so we get paralyzed and we do nothing. And what we're trying to do is say, here's the information. We're not forcing you to make different decisions, but now you can actually make a better decision. And again, you might buy the jeans that are a higher impact, but then you might not buy a t-shirt, or you might do something else that offsets that. And then the analogy... Exactly. It's working towards it. And once you know, you can't unknow. Once you give that transparency, then people can really start to make better informed decisions. And the analogy you give is the perfect one.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Austin. Thank you. So where should we go next? So what would you say are some of the biggest challenges e-com companies are facing when trying to become sustainable? So obviously, that sounds great. You know, we can sign up for Day Rice. But obviously, let's say, you know, a lot of the products that X e-com store is selling, you know, don't have that data, or, you know, what are some of the challenges? Because I think, you know, it all sounds great, doesn't it, that we're moving towards that, we've got to be open to it, but what are some of the maybe challenges and how we can sort of smash through a few of those as e-com store owners, senior people in e-commerce?
Yeah, I think one of the big use cases that we're seeing our technology used for, which wasn't part of our original thinking, and even what I talked about when I set this up, is a lot of, and admittedly it's larger players, but I think it's equally as relevant for small e-commerce companies. They're using the technology to range products. So actually use it as a filter to actually select more sustainable products. And that doesn't mean that all your products on your website need to have the score. You can have a sustainability section. You can start offering that. But until now, big and small companies, whether, you know, we're working with Target in the US, for example, which is a massive multinational, to help them understand the sustainability of the products. And their primary use case is they're going to use it as a ranging tool. So when brands come to them, they need to go through this assessment so that they can actually include the sustainability of their product in their ranging decision. And I think it's the same for e-commerce companies. How do you know if a product's sustainable or not? Because at the moment, it's a brand telling you they are or they're not. And a lot of times people talk a lot about greenwashing, and there is greenwashing, but for the most part, I think greenwashing is comes from a place of ignorance, not a place of mischievous. And I think people just don't know. And now we can provide an independent verification for that. So I think one of the big barriers is what actually is a sustainable product, and how can you market that? Now we solve that. We can say, okay, we can actually independently verify how sustainable it is, and here's tools you can actually use then to tell that story to consumer. Yeah. That's one challenge that I think that we can help overcome. The other one is, I think you pointed out, is information. That you're right, like it's everyone's supply chain is pretty opaque. Like it's hard to get down into the details. So the traditional way of doing, there is a traditional way of understanding impact at a product level. It's called a life cycle assessment. And what that does is you go to a big consultancy firm, like one of the big four, and you pay them £20,000, pounds, and they will actually go piece by piece through your supply chain and map the impact. Costs £20,000, takes 6 months for one product. So it's really accurate, but it's time consuming and it's too expensive. And so it doesn't make it accessible for most businesses. And at the end of the day, there's no consumer facing story that comes out of it, because you get a report this thick that then sort of sits in your drawer. So that's what we're trying to solve. We're trying to make we're trying to democratize it and make this level of assessment fast, accurate and holistic, but accessible for all size businesses. So our assessment only costs €60 per product, £60 per product.
Yeah.
And we've deliberately priced it that way, but one, because it's a technology solution, so we're applying technology to a manual process, and two, because we're desperate to make this accessible for any size business. So that's what's really important for us, is making this level of impact assessment not just available for large corporates that can afford to invest in it, but how do we make it available for everyone so that we have a level
playing field? This is great. I think the guys that are listening, you imagine all the people that are going to your stores, and typically they're going to the categories, subcategories, they're searching by price, by reviews, bestseller, if there's a filter there that's sort of sustainability score potentially, with then another filter around price as a second option. So your customers are searching for products specifically that have got a low score, clearly, and then filter for a second filter, which is one of the more normal filters. Obviously, that probably world is not that far away, I would imagine, listening to what you're saying there, Austin. Is there any brands doing that right now, where they've pretty much got the whole catalog covered? Or
yeah, we're working towards it. It's inevitable, Richard. And one thing you mentioned a moment ago is regulation. So governments always last to catch up, and governments work slowly, deliberately, because they make big decisions that impact everyone. But consumers are moving faster than the government is. Investors are moving faster, and they want to see this change. And so there will be regulations that come in over the next 5 years. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And therefore we would all need to adhere to that. But I think there's a real opportunity for brands now to use it as a point of difference, and really it's a cluttered market in e-commerce. How can you use sustainability as a real differentiator now? Because I think for the next 5 years, there's that opportunity. And again, it doesn't need to be a whole range. I don't think you need to pivot your whole range to be sustainable.
No.
But if you can provide transparency about what is sustainable, because not everyone's looking for sustainable products all the time. But I think if you can use it to have at least part of your range as sustainable, and then be able to tell a really clear, quantifiable story, I think that's a really path forward that sort of sets you on that journey. So when the regulations do come in, you'll be really well set to transition into
that. Yeah, I think that's brilliant advice. So obviously, our listeners, you've got a mixture. You've got a mixture of people running different stores, whether they're doing £1 million a year, $1 million a year, or they're doing $100 million a year. But you've got these big brands, that are doing hundreds and hundreds of millions a year. Do you think they're doing enough? They've probably got the resource to do enough, but are they doing enough? Should they be leading the way? And are they leading the way?
The answer is yes. Should they be? They should be. I think they have the intent to be. I mean, every CEO in the world has sustainability in their top three priorities. They just do. And if they don't, then they won't be in the job for long, because, you know, all their investors and shareholders are asking for it. Everyone that they're employing now is demanding it, because you think about the workforce that's coming in now in their early 20s, they want to be aligned with companies that have values and that align with theirs. There's so much better verse. So yeah, it's in their top three. What we are finding though is the one thing to have the intent, but then how do you actually action it is another thing. So because these are big companies that obviously are very complex, so to change them becomes very difficult. So what we are finding is, and we work with a lot of big companies, is a lot of them are doing work at the sort of higher company level. So how do they map their carbon emissions across the whole company? And a lot of them are doing some really good work in that field. But what they're seeing is that that isn't translating into consumer value, because if you're measuring your carbon at a company level, and then someone's going to buy your product or come to your e-commerce platform, that's not translating into information to consumers that they can actually make use of. So they really need to pull it down to a product level. Yeah. So what's not just the impact at a company level, what's your impact at a product level? And we are seeing companies want to move towards that. So there's intent. We're working with one of the biggest sports brands in the world at the moment, and they're just having really trouble finding out the actual makeup of the materials in the midsoles of their shoes. So they want to do it, but the company is so complex that actually getting to the source of that material so we can accurately assess the impact is really difficult. So I would say for the most part, the big players have the intent to do it. I think they just need to speed up a bit in terms of how they get there.
It's good to hear. What would you say in terms of some good examples then, you know, of brands? It doesn't have to be big brands, but brands that you feel are really doing well with their sustainability piece. What sort of things are they doing? You know, maybe give some examples so our listeners can maybe, you know, get some ideas that they what they might be able to do from companies that are doing really well with it.
Yeah, I'll approach it from a couple of angles. So from a retail standpoint, I'll go back to Target in the US, who's one of our big customers. They're probably the most advanced, and what they're doing is, they've got their financial profit and loss statement, which they're producing. And what they're actually producing alongside of that is their impact statement. So not just reporting on financials, but what's their impact reporting as well. And there's a whole team based on actually understanding their impact through the whole company, so that they actually aren't just, because for the most time, the planetary cost is a hidden cost. So you don't pay for that, but there's an impact on the planet when you source all these materials. There's an impact to the planet when you produce all this carbon, when you actually produce all these products. They're measuring that impact and quantifying it. And as you know, as the saying goes, what gets measured gets valued. And so once they put a measure to it, they can actually start to change it. So at the top end, that's what someone's doing. We work with a smaller fashion brand called Ing Marson, based in the UK. And they've signed up to have all their products scored so they can actually start to tell that story to consumers through their social channels. So they're doing a really good job because they are passionate about sustainability, and they're not just choosing the products that score the best. Yep. They're scoring all their products and saying, hey, we're just being really transparent about it. And so I think, again, much like consumers, we think we get paralyzed if we think we have to do everything to change our lives to be sustainable. I think as companies, just taking the first few steps. And I think the steps are firstly quantifying your impact and understanding it is the first thing. And only then you can actually start to having a plan in place to actually changing it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I suppose something on my mind, and when I said at the beginning, the sustainability piece, you know, when I log into Amazon, it's sort of been almost like a bit of an addiction, I think, for a lot of people, potentially. You know, definitely me, not so much now, but you know, and every year I log in, get to the end of the year, and it obviously tells you how many orders you've had, you know. And so 2019 2020 double, 2021 triple, you know. And it got to the end of last year and it was just like I was wheeling down my blue bin in the UK. It was at the time, they've actually given us extra bins now, so we've got blue, purple, green, black, four bins. Obviously partly for that reason, there's that much packaging, you know, and it was just like, oh my God, I've literally got three bins worth full of cardboard. So I went in the office literally the next day and said, look, this has got to stop. This is just the stuff that was getting delivered to my house. You know, at the time it was more, you know, there was more than normal because we were locked down more. So I was getting stuff sent here, then taking stuff to the office, but you know, it's for my own use and for the office use. But I think we had 300 deliveries last year. Yeah. As a company and on a personal level, I was just like, Richard, what are you doing? So it was like, right, I went in the next day and said, look, this has got to stop. You know, I'm the most guilty one. Don't get me wrong. You know, obviously there is other people there and I'm buying things for the business and other people obviously working from home. I had to buy various things for a lot of people and, you know, a few excuses, if you like, of what we need, you know, that we needed to buy things. But ultimately it's like, Richard, this can't go on. So we made a point then that we will only order once a week from Amazon, which no big deal, but what that's done, obviously within the business, people saying, oh, we need this. Well, okay, he has to wait till Monday, but then Monday rolls round. We can't often realize we maybe don't quite need the things that we thought we needed 3 or 4 days ago that were urgent. So now we're actually buying less. And I think we're what, 5 months into the year, maybe 6 months when this airs, 6 months into the year. And I'd be surprised if we placed more than probably 10 orders. Whereas this time last year, we probably missed 130 orders. Yeah. So just a little thing like that. But it's an interesting thing with Amazon because obviously they've had huge, huge growth, you know, and everyone's going saying sustainability is so important, which obviously it is. But, you know, but people are still buying so much stuff, aren't they? You know, what do you think?
Yeah, it's the I mean, we're all the conversation about sustainability is great, and the fact that we're talking Richard again is testament to that. So I think it's you know, it's part of the mainstream conversation now. It's not just about sort of a small group of activists. We're all conscious of what we're doing, but the behavior isn't matching the conversation, right? So we're still buying a lot from Amazon and we're still consumers and we're built to consume, right? We're always going to need to consume. We can't stop consumption. We need to live, right? But we need to consume better. And it's education to actually help people do it. So the first thing is transparency. You gave the great example of the cheeseburger. Once you know the impact of something that you're buying, you can't unknow it. And you actually then have to consider it in terms of what you purchase. And then you can make an informed decision and you might still purchase it, but then you know what it is. And then you can actually think about whether you consume differently like you're doing with your ordering Amazon.
Yeah.
The other thing is one of the really great features that we've got from a consumer standpoint is we provide brands with information so they can make better decisions about their product development. And then they can show that information to consumers. And one of the things that's they can actually show to consumers, and this is interesting for your e-commerce platforms, is we've all got a planetary budget each year that we all need to, if we all consumed within our planetary budget, the world would regenerate itself. And so Earth Overshoot Day, which we all know, unfortunately happens earlier and earlier each year because we overshoot the Earth's resources. But if we didn't do that, we could continue to consume as long as within the Earth's resources. But how do we expect consumers to change if they, one, don't know the impact of the products that they're buying, and two, as they buy lots of products, what's the aggregate impact over time? So how much of their planetary budget are they actually using? So it's like getting someone to sort of have a household budget financially when they don't know how much they're spending or how much money they've got. So it's impossible. So again, we're expecting consumers to change, but not giving them the right tools. Now, part of the analysis that we do is we can tell you when you buy that pair of jeans or that T-shirt or that couch, how much of your planetary budget you're actually using. So not only can you compare the two couches to see which one is more sustainable and make a decision, when you aggregate and buy products over time, you can see how your actual purchase history goes against your planetary budget. So if you've got an e-commerce site where people are buying from regularly, that's a great tool for you because now you can actually track people's purchases on their website. And as part of their profile, you can show them not just their purchase history in terms of what they've purchased, but how much of their planetary budget they've used. And that's a great tool for people to actually come back and see how much they're actually buying. So that's a long answer to your question, but I think the education and information is the path to help people make better decisions.
Yeah, love it. Totally. The more I listen to you and the more I sort of look at this, yeah, there's so much change needed, you know, and I think it's making a start, isn't it, for a lot of companies, you know, and obviously a lot are, but it's then, I think when you get on that path, you know, it becomes quite addictive, I think, in a good way, you know.
Yeah, and you can gamify it, you can make it fun, right? Yes. Because I think that one of the issues with the sustainability is it's such a loaded term now. And when we think about sustainability, we think it's heavy. We think about, you know, icebergs crashing into the ocean and global warming, which is important, right? That is the context. It's important. But it also can also turn to negativity and people not doing anything. And we're really trying to, our company's based on solutions. So our company deliberately isn't about naming and shaming brands. We don't do that. We don't go to brands and sort of publicize their results if they don't want to. We want to work with them to get better. And that's the same with sustainability. We're trying to turn the conversation to solutions-based. And again, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to change your complete lifestyle. That's too much and people get paralyzed. Just start doing a few small things.
Yeah.
And then you can, it's amazing how much of an impact that can actually make.
Brilliant. So let's say we're sat here again in 18 months. Crystal ball time, you know, and I think you touched on quite a bit there, really, of the, some of the things people should be doing. But, you know, really sort of, you know, 18 months from now, you know, businesses that are really embracing the sustainability piece, really on board with it, what are some of the things they'll be doing? I mean, very much some of the things you've talked about, but what's the sort of the real top level of that you see in 18 months?
Transparency. It'll be all about transparency. And the companies with the greatest transparency will win. The ones, they'll be the ones that, that consumers trust. I mean, every market is so competitive, whether it's e-commerce market or whether it's the consumer goods market or anything. Where, you know, it's so narrow, the margins of benefit. But if you can really show transparency in terms of not just your environmental footprint, but anything you're doing socially, and the more transparent, the more information you can provide, they're the ones that are going to provide differentiation. And that starts with data and information. And that, I think that's the big unlock, is how do brands and e-commerce platforms get the right level of data to then be able to show that level of transparency. So I think whatever it is you're doing, I think consumers value flawed heroes. They don't want you to be perfect. They just want you to be transparent and honest with them. And if you can be a brand that's honest, I think you're set up well to have a real competitive advantage.
I think that's business, isn't it? Transparent and honest. I think it's the same, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely. Right, Austin, it's been an absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Absolutely cracking episode. And I like to finish every episode with a book recommendation. What book would you recommend to our listeners?
In terms of books, there's a book called The Brand Story by an author called Tim Wood. And it's actually an old colleague of mine from Nike. And it's actually quite an interesting story. He actually had a background in theatre and wanted to be an actor and acted. And then he moved into marketing from there. And then he actually transferred that his knowledge of storytelling from the theatre world into actual the brand world. Because I do think, as much as we're talking about sustainability here as a differentiator, it's brands that consumers buy, whether it's an e-commerce brand or whether it's a consumer brand. And sustainability needs to be wrapped up into your story, needs to be part of your narrative. But I do believe it's all about storytelling, and it's all about creating emotional connections with consumers. So anything that you can do to differentiate your brand by telling brand stories, I think, is important. And I really think that for the next 5 to 10 years, brands that have a clear narrative around their sustainability and can connect through that are going to sort of push forward.
Fantastic. Fantastic recommendation. So the guys that want to find out more about you, Austin, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so our website is dayrise.io. That's dayrise with a Z. Or just drop me an email directly at austin@dayrise.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for being on Ecom01, and I'll speak to you again.
Thanks, Richard.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ecom at One e-commerce podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit subscribe and don't forget to sign up to our e-commerce newsletter and leave us a review on iTunes. This podcast has been brought to you by our team here at Ecom One, the e-commerce marketing agency.